think wish all of you a very good year, although the year has been running for some time, and you also look very well. Honorable Bongo? Is that? It's not here. Oh, you know, I wish you very well in your Valentine's celebrations. I'm very conservative, so I won't be part of the celebrations, but good luck to all of you who believe and practice it. Mr. Bassett, I hope you are not part of the youthful people who celebrate Valentine's.
That.
can you introduce your team and take us forward?
Thank you. Thank you, Chair. Good morning. We are a bigger delegation than usual. We were requested to bring all the role players that are involved in the implementation of the Child Justice Act. Today we're going to talk about regulations that are proposed in terms of Section 97 of the Act. These are amending regulations. They're really technical in nature. And I'm going to ask my colleague from Justice, Ms. Thandazile Skosana, to do the presentation. I know the presentation was circulated together with the regulations that were sent to the Office of the Speaker and the Office of the Chairperson of the National Council of Provinces. As I say, the regulations are technical, and Ms. Skosana will deal with those. But before doing that, if I can introduce all our colleagues that are here today. And from the NPA, we have Advocate Toko Majakweni, who's the head of the SOCA unit, and she's accompanied by Advocate Pierce Smith. From Correctional Services, we have Ms. Buyu Mlomo-Ndlovu. From Social Development, we have Ms. Connie Nomalo. And from SAPS, we have Ms. Marga van Rooyen. We also have another new colleague from Justice sitting behind me. Chair, I think you'll see more of her. She's in our Cape Town office. So she is readily available to be at committees and hopefully stand in for us when we're not able to come down from Pretoria, and that's Ms. Inga Ontong. She's new in our Chief Directorate. So that's the team that's here today. I hope I haven't missed anybody out. And if I may, can I hand over to Ms. Kosana to do the presentation? Thank you.
Thank you, Chair, and good morning. Just by way of a background before I start with the actual presentation on the regulations. The regulations in terms of the Child Justice Act. The Child Justice Act 2008, which establishes a child justice system for children in conflict with the law, was passed into law in 2008. Section 97 of the Act gives the Minister the power to make regulations in consultation with other cabinet members that are responsible for the implementation of the Act. The existing regulations were made just after, before the Act came into operation in 2010, and it was approved by Parliament and published in March 2010. The Act has been in operation for a number of years, and there has been certain sections of the Act has been amended, which includes Section 11, Section 28, Section 43, 56, 75, 77, and 85. These amendments are contained in the Judicial Matters Amendment Act of 2013 and 2014. And then I'll quickly take the committee through the amendments to the sections that required amendments to the regulations. Section 11 of the Act regulates the proof of criminal capacity and provides that the state must prove criminal capacity beyond reasonable doubt. And in proving criminal capacity, the court may, on its own accord, or at the request of either the accused or the representative of the accused or the prosecutor, make an order that the criminal capacity of a child be evaluated by a competent person. And Section 28 deals with the protection of children in police custody. And then it was amended in response to the observation made by the Select Committee regarding the reporting lines within the police services. Section 56 deals with the accreditation of the diversion service programs. And it was also amended to allow the Minister of Social Development, who is responsible for accreditation, to delegate the powers to the MECs as implementation occurs mostly at provincial level. And then Section 97 of the Act was amended to align it with Section 11. Section 97 gives the Minister the power to issue a notice determining the competent persons that are referred to in Section 11 of the Act. Then the amendments to the Act, which to the Child Justice Act, which are contained in the Judicial Matters Amendment Act of 2014, necessitated amendments to the regulations that are made in terms of those sections. Then going to the amendments itself to the regulations. Regulation 13 regulates was Regulation 13 regulates proof of criminal capacity and was prescribed in terms of Section 11 of the Act, which requires the Minister to prescribe the manner in which the evaluation of criminal capacity should be conducted. And then Regulation 13 prescribe a form which is essentially formulated as a court order that will be issued by the court to direct the competent person to conduct the evaluation. As a result of the amendments to Section 11, then it became necessary to amend Form 2, which is a court order, to list all the five elements of the development of a child in the order that is issued by the court. Then the Regulation 21 deals with the content of the report that is issued in terms of Section 28 of the Act. As a result of the amendment to Section 28 of the Act, which required the station commissioner to submit the report that is compiled when a child reports an injury or psychological trauma, to be submitted firstly to the provincial commissioner and then a copy to be submitted to the national commissioner. So Regulation 21 of the regulations is just amended. It's a technical amendment to make provision for the report to be submitted to the station commissioner first, to the provincial commissioner, and then to the national commissioner. Regulation 21 of the regulations is amended as a result of the amendment to Section 56 of the Act. Section 56 of the Act requires the Minister of Social Development to issue accreditation certificate to diversion service providers and diversion programs. And then after the amendment to Section 56, which allowed the Minister of Social Development to delegate that power to the MEC, it became necessary then to amend Form 7 and 8 to reflect that the forms are now going to be signed by the MECs. So essentially the amendments to regulation, that one is to amend the forms to make provision for the accreditation certificates to be signed by the MECs. The last amendment is to Regulation 50. Regulation 50 regulates the procedure for the application for expungement and provides that the official, when making an application for expungement, the official designated may request the applicant to provide further information. And there was uncertainty whether this designation would require the DG to officially designate a person within the department to deal with the designation. So the amendments to Section 50 is technical to replace the phrase an official that has been designated by the department to replace that with the phrase an official who is responsible for the application for expungement. In terms of consultation, as I indicated in the beginning, that Section 97 of the Act requires the Minister to make the regulations in consultation with the other Cabinet members responsible for the implementation of the Act. The regulations were drafted, and then in February 2016 published in the Government Gazette for public consultation, and at the same time letters of consultation were also sent to the Minister of Police, the Minister of Social Development and Health for consultation purposes, as this amended regulation has got an impact on their mandate. The Ministers of Police and Social Development and Health responded and supported the amendments to the regulation. The draft amendments are now in terms of Section 97(2) tabled in Parliament for approval. Thank you, Chair. That's it.
Representatives of children's rights organizations. None. Were they invited? When you finalized the regulations, did you consult with any of children's rights organizations?
Yes, Chair, the regulations were published for public consultation in February last year, and we received a few submissions from organizations that deal with the children's rights.
Honourable members, you have heard for yourself. Any comments? Honourable Machaki, Honourable Breitenberg.
Thank you, Chairperson, and to welcome the presentation. I'm not actually commenting or asking a question. I just want to find out if there isn't some form of a gap here in terms of the presentation. That gap that relates to criminal capacity age of a child, which is something that we debated a lot in the previous session.
What is your recollection of what came out of that discussion?
We actually looked at what is the age in terms of the provision we had in the current legislation, what is the trend in terms of SADC and AU, and we actually made recommendations as a committee. I don't know whether Mr. Bassett would want to talk to it.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Yes, Section 11, as it reads at the moment, says the state must prove beyond reasonable doubt the capacity of a child who's 10 years or older but under the age of 14 years to appreciate the difference between the right and wrong at the time of the commission of an alleged offence and act in accordance with that appreciation. So the limit is 14 years. There was a big investigation undertaken by the department, and the department did a briefing to this committee last year in, I can't recall when, was it September, October. The recommendation by the department for consideration by this committee is that the age, the 14-year age limit, be brought down to 12. I wasn't in that meeting myself, but I've been informed that there was a request or there was a query whether this aspect had been taken up with the traditional leadership. The department's in the process of making an arrangement for a briefing at the National House of Traditional Leaders on this aspect. I spoke to my colleague in the department, was it this week or late last week? And I think they are in the process of getting a briefing done at the National House of Traditional Leaders before they come back. I think the department was sent back to go and do precisely that.
You see, because I remember that this issue was contentious, whether we are lowering the age or not. But now we are dealing with the regulations, which seems to suggest that we have reached agreement on the age. And the question, if I'm right, is can we start talking about regulations to implement a law before we agree on the substance of the law? I need to be corrected.
Yeah, maybe my colleagues would like to come in here. The regulations here, I don't think impact on that particular thing. I think they are two separate issues. So the regulations, I would suggest, aren't going to impact on the outcome of the eventual recommendation on the age of criminal capacity.
We're talking about between age 10 and age 40, what informs the age 10 if there's no impact?
Thank you, Chair. I think I'm going to repeat what Lawrence has said. It looks like these are two processes in terms of Section 96 of the Act. The department is required to collect information for the review of the age of criminal capacity from where it is now. This is the process that Lawrence is talking about. The amendments to the regulations deals with the elements of the criminal capacity that is required to be proved. If the age of criminal capacity is amended or reviewed as suggested in the report that is before Parliament, which is from 10 to 12, there could still be a need to prove criminal capacity in respect of a child who's 12 but under the age of 14. So then there would be still be a need for the evaluation of criminal capacity in respect of that age group.
But on your briefing documents, you talk about international law, and you talk about United Nations law. But before matters reach the United Nations, there is Africa and the SADC region. What is the situation in the SADC region and in Africa? because what informs the United Nations is something global, and there are cultural differences throughout the world. But we are Africans. We must start with ourselves. What is the situation on the African continent?
I would like to think that the department, when they come back, when it comes back to this committee on the, after having consulted with traditional leadership, will also deal with that aspect. Didn't the committee, as I say, I wasn't in that committee meeting, but didn't the committee ask, raise those questions at the time as well, and the department needs to respond to those?
But also, you know, you want to consult with houses of traditional leaders, which is correct in terms of the constitution, but the female traditional leaders, the queens, are the people who bring up children. Is there any arrangement to talk to them? And I'm told that they are organized, because otherwise we are going to talk to men only, and we're talking about children.
Chair, I can't respond to that, but I'm going to ask the, my colleagues who are dealing with this matter, when they report back, that that also be added to what they report back on, in addition to what this committee has already requested. I undertake to do that.
Any comment?
Thanks, Chair. It could be just a typo omission or good material that on the intersectoral, thanks, it's Paseka Njobe, basic education. Especially what was raised for the matter on the consultations. This is just an omission on the presentation that the ministers who were consulted, I see that the Minister of Basic Education is omitted, who could be critical in terms of the record.
Explanation for that, or is not? It was not necessary.
Chair, the section requires the minister to consult other cabinet members. Okay, can I just read the section as it is? Yes. Well. The view was held that the current amendments to the regulation has an implication only on the Department of Social Development in respect of Section 56 or Regulation 31, and then the Department of Police and the Department of Health. That is the reason why only those three cabinet members were consulted.
Isn't it true that the police and social development actually deal with children when they are in trouble, but basic education will deal with the children every day, and they should have a voice in what they think the age is. Ms. Anjo, I think that they should be excluded.
The section 97 lists, it's not other ministers, but education is specifically listed. We are sort of a primary kind of a department because the ages discussed here, the children are of school going age. Thanks.
So we must agree that you need to include that department. Honorable members.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm a little concerned that we haven't seen the public input. I would like to have seen what the interest groups had to say. I would still like to see it. And then I have a question regarding Regulation 21 and the document that was handed out, which appears to be a draft of the amendments to regulations under Point 1, Regulation 21 and Regulations, and then over on the next page under Bullet B, 4C. It says a copy of this report that goes to the Provincial Commissioner of Police and the National Commissioner of Police and its attachments must be filed in the docket. Do you have that? Do you have it? Sure. This document that was handed out under the schedule, it is Amendment of Regulation 21 of the regulations. That's on the first substantive page of the document. Do you have that? You have it? Okay, if you turn the page, then under bullet B, you see it? Do you have it? Bullet B. By the substitution for regulation 4 of the following sub-regulation, do you have that? Under point C, so 4C. File a copy of the report and its attachments in the docket. Do you see that? Do you see it? Okay. Can you tell me in which portion of the docket it's required to be filed, because it makes a difference. If it's in the A section, it's part of the docket that gets disclosed to the accused and their legal representative. If it's in B, not so easy, and if it's in C, also not so easy. This is the type of information that should be made available, so I'd like to know in which section of the docket it's meant to be filed. Thank you.
Chair, could I perhaps ask our colleague from SAPS to deal with that? I think it's a SAPS-related question.
Chair, good morning. My name is Marga van Rooyen and I'm attached to the Division Legal Services of the South African Police Service. As far as I know, it is filed in the A part of the docket.
Thank you, but as far as you know, I'd like some more certainty than as far as you know. And shouldn't it be set out in the regulation? So that it must be filed in Section A.
Chair, we have internal directives that regulate medical treatment of not only children but also adults and hospitalization. And the national instruction was recently amended late last year. So I'll just have to confirm the wording of that amendment, and I will report back. But as it's a matter that is addressed in internal directives of the police.
Thank you, and I'd like to see that, please, if you could let us have it in writing. Yesterday we saw the police ignoring a court order. So I'm a little concerned about how much credence they give to their directives. Thank you.
I think Honourable Breedenberg speaks for all of us. We want to see that. Honourable Hon.
Yes, thank you, Chair. My question is just a technical question in terms of Forms 7 and 8 there at the back of the amended regulations. The way I understood the power of the Minister of Social Development, it gives her the power to delegate, but not the obligation to delegate. And the forms as amended only allows for members of Executive Council to sign the accreditation. So the forms, if they are amended as they proposed now, will no longer allow for the Minister to do accreditation, and that cannot be in terms of the way the Act is structured.
What is your view? What should be the position?
Well, there where the member of the Executive Council signs, there must be, and all, with the Minister of Social Development inserted there as well.
Anyone having a problem with that proposal? None, Honourable Bongo? Okay, fine. Mr. Bassett, can you come before
Chair? Thank you. With your permission, maybe if we could get a response. I don't know whether Ms. Nxumalo would like to respond to that from Social Development.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson and members. I think that's exactly our request, because if it's Minister Stroke and or MEC, when she revokes the delegation, that provision will still be there. So we are for the amendments, as the member has indicated.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. And thanks for the presentation. I think my main worry is around the issue of consultation and the role that can be played generally, Chair, by the what you referred to earlier as the children's rights organization. Like, you know, when you talk about children, there's no way in which you can talk about NICRO. So what is the role of NICRO in the whole, NICRO and other groupings that are dealing with some work around the issue of child justice? Because it would have been even more important that they play a role in the regulations, because their role is technical, unlike an MEC who must just, MEC is a politician. But you need a technical person who will understand in terms of the role that must be played by some of those organizations. I think what would request more, Chair, is that we may have just to increase the issue of consultation so that we get to be one in terms of the role of the stakeholders, because the regulation must be very clear in terms of who must pay what, on whose recommendation must that person do certain things. And it will appear here, regulation that they speak about the Judicial Matters Amendment Act. Mr. Bassett, you say this act is not in operation, it is waiting for the regulations. Because when I recall, we have done this act some many, many months ago. So what are the implications of those things that we're supposed to have implemented in terms of this act? But also the issue of criminal capacity, we can't just brush it away. It's a matter that must be properly finalized, because we'll continue to deal with the regulation. I take the argument that it's not a related matter, but those are contentious issues that relate to the subject matter. We've got to be clear on where we're going in terms of the criminal capacity. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson. Mine is somehow aligned to what the gentleman from Department of Education and Honorable Bongo has just said in terms of consultation. In terms of Section 97, Subsection 5, Chairperson, the Department of Education is one of our intersectoral committee members. Therefore, in terms of consultation, I don't think the relevant section of Department of Justice and Constitutional Development did do a thorough consultation. I therefore, with your indulgence, Chairperson, like the issue of Honorable Bongo made mention of NICRO, there are other organizations, children's rights organizations like Molo Songololo and others, which I don't think they have been consulted in this regard. But the issue, even before the gentleman from Basic Education could raise the issue, I was a bit concerned about the this consultation issue whereby the Department of Basic Education, which is the primary guardian, a caretaker of children in most cases, So I think the consultation should be inclusive, not exclusive. Thank you.
You know, sometimes we try to be creative at our own expense. In the 80s, starting in 1987, Mrs. Sulu and Sister Bernard Ncube worked with the United Nations, with UNICEF, and out of that work, there was an organization born called National Children's Rights Committee. That organization had structures at the township level in the communities. And there was also an investigation into women and children in a violent society. And that research was done in KwaZulu-Natal and Gauteng. And there were also publications coming out of that. Now, the Nelson Mandela Children's Foundation was born out of that. And I don't think that the question of children is really, first and foremost, a police matter, a social development matter. I think it's a parenting matter. And the inequalities in our communities are such that even when you try to fix these criminal capacity things, we may even perpetrate justice because the development of children leaves much to be desired. You look at these early childhood development centers in garages, in the townships, and so on. So I think our approach should be more developmental than really looking as to which of the children must be punished. So I want to agree with those who say, you know, you have NICRO, there's that National Children's Rights Committee. If we could empower such organizations to deal with this, then we'll have less police intrusion into this matter. You have National Interfaith Council of South Africa. These religious people are meeting with the children all the time. I'm just wondering whether maybe we shouldn't have an audit of all the children's rights organizations. You also have advice centers that are involved in this matter, and there's an advice centers organization that is involved. Maybe we just have a day's workshop and bring everybody and hear what people have to say, because we cannot solve the challenges facing children through criminal legislation, bringing the police. We must first establish what are the challenges. And when we talk about criminal capacity, what type of children are we talking about? When you get a child from Khayelitsha in an overcrowded base, child-headed families, absentee parents, what is going to shape the capacity of that children to distinguish between right and wrong? So I think this is really a societal matter. We can't just rush to regulations and laws. So my view would be that we are not ready, as we sit here today, to be approving regulations. We need a thorough consultation. We need all stakeholders. And I think that the law says houses of traditional leaders must be consulted. But the reality is that the queen mothers must be involved. And these queen mothers are not in those houses. So what do we do? Because today we are not ready. We need to address the question of consultation, and we need to assure ourselves that all the relevant stakeholders were consulted, and we need to see the your audit of the organizations that you consult. And when we say we published this, the majority of our people concerned with life and death matters, they have no time to be reading gazettes and newspapers. So I don't think that just this publication is enough. This is the information that maybe in booklet forms should be given to all members of parliament, who must take them to their constituency offices. We must go to radio stations, community radio stations, and talk to our people. I don't know, honourable members, that is my view. I don't know how you want to deal with these matters.
Thank you, Chairperson. I support the sentiment. And like I earlier indicated, if we haven't actually resolved the issue of the age for criminal capacity, how do we manage to actually conclude the regulations? This is what I actually also feel like. We put the cart before the horse. And earlier it was actually said that the committee suggested that the age limit should actually come down. We have actually said maybe up. We should look at the minutes. They will tell us what was discussed on that day.
Mr. Njobe.
Thanks, Honourable Chair and members. We will also be keen, Chairperson, to delve deeper into the divergent programs. And it is the most opportune time that basic education is doing, is classifying this chapter under inclusive education. And we're doing a lot of curriculum packaging, not rewrite, especially modularization to cater for different stages and levels of learners of special needs. They are of special needs not because of incapacity of their body, but the environment within which and the times that are different within which they can get into trouble with the law. So it will be of assistance, as the Honourable Chairperson indicates, that a workshop might assist us to understand the environment and how best, when we do curriculum repackaging, this category could be favorably positioned. Thank you.
Input. Root problems. So can we agree that firstly we get an audit of all the children's rights organizations, and we also agree which are the other departments must be included, and then we ask all the departments to prepare their inputs on the question, including this question of criminal capacity, and also request that we should not be too technical. You see, if you say that job modularization, I was at a meeting in Limpopo yesterday where people were saying, but what is this modularization? I also did not understand, and I have a 12-year child in school, but I don't understand the modularization. So I think let's use a simple, accessible language so that when we come up with the positions on these things, we should be assured that we are taking our people, especially the parents and the children themselves, along in this process. Anyway, we don't have space in prisons to be putting children. We don't want children to be awaiting trial when they're still at school. So we have to structure things in such a way that we reduce the chances of putting children through the criminal system. So does this bring us to the end, or do we all agree that we need a workshop and then we deal with these matters and we utilize community radio stations, community papers, and really just do a thorough job? These days we even have a children's parliament. We can go to the legislatures and bring the children and ask them, let them tell us what do they think, because sometimes they think even faster than some of us. Agreed? Mr.
Chair, thank you. We'll go along with that. That sounds good. Just to make sure that on whose responsibility, I would accept that the workshop will be organized by Parliament, yes, okay.
That, but Parliament will ensure, the committee secretary will ensure that he consults with the relevant departments so that we structure a program that accommodates all of us. Okay. And I think it should not be late, sometime in March, but you can consult with the department and see by when will they be ready, and then let's get a date. Thank you very much for your time, your preparations, your contributions. You have just helped us to be part of the process, and we like being part of the process in the best interest of the children of South Africa. And thank you very much. You are well excused, committee agents.
What's this spell?
It's C H A N D A.
C H A N D A.